from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
For the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, golly, man. We're having a great Monday. Great start to the Monday.
Yeah, this is a good little Monday.
I got in. Oh, I'm fading the wrong pot now. We're cruising along, and then I realized, oh, I didn't set up the, it's called the stack. It's where, like, our spots play and our music plays out of this music that I'm fading down, and now it comes out of the stack. Anyways, I usually have to set that up before the show and forgot today, so I'm going to have to do that throughout as we go here, which is kind of a pain. And then, when I went to go start recording the show, for some reason, I was not in the program I needed to be in, so started the recording late. And then, just now, I started fading down the music out of the wrong slider. So, 0 for 3 to start the show.
No one then.
Yeah, just 0 for 3. Just throwing up bricks. Couldn't miss pregame. The ball tipped, and I couldn't make a shot.
That's right.
Alas, here we are.
These Happy are Mondays. Bunnies, too. Come on, man.
I know. Every day. I get back cuts, open layups, just falling off the rim, but hey, we're good. That's why we get 2 hours, 4 quarters, however far you want to strain the metaphor. We got NBA playoff stuff to get into today. A ton of NBA playoff stuff. Fascinating NBA postseason going on. The NBA draft lottery was yesterday afternoon. Nothing happened for the Kings, so we'll talk about what that means for them going forward. James, you hit me with a fascinating trade idea yesterday. And you broke it down. You went full. It's not just like this player. You have multiple teams involved, a bunch of picks. So we'll talk about that. And I have a Kings postseason-related question for you to dive into as well. That's the plan on this Monday. Let's start with the playoff games from the weekend. And we'll start with Saturday, where the Mavs beat the Thunder 105-101 to take a 2-1 lead in that series. Look, I know that the experience from the Mavs standpoint is massive. You've had Luka, who's been in the playoffs, he's been to a conference finals. You have Kyrie, who has won a finals and hit one of the biggest shots in NBA history. You have players who have been there. But the story for me, and this is where it's interesting, like we had somebody in the chatty house before the show say the Thunder's inexperience is going to show at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been a little bit part of it, because you go through those games and it's like Shea, and then you're getting a little bit from Jalen Williams, and then it's just nothing. They're not getting enough from anybody else, whereas you have Dallas, who's getting a good Luka performance, but not elite. He's clearly banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie has been picking his spots. He was really good at the end of Game 3. But like PJ Washington is the story here. Dude's got 56 points in his last two games. He can't miss from three.
Yeah, he's one of those interesting NBA players that really, I think, he was waiting to get out of a bad situation, and he found himself in a really good one out of nowhere. It's almost perfect for him, and it's weird because that team has had players like this before, and they don't work out. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, he's been able to, whether it's like command the respect of Luka and of Kyrie, or if it's just to step in and like be who he's always been as a player, but, you know, like step into a major role with a new team. I think he was a really, really nice find for them.
That's interesting you bring that up, because they have. The year they went to the conference finals, it was like Reggie Bullock was playing a lot for them. Dorian Finney-Smith was playing a lot for them. Maxi Kleba was getting a ton of burn. I wonder if it's what we talked about last week, where maybe PJ Washington is just better than those guys. And I think he is in a vacuum. But maybe it's because the style of play is different now for the Mavs. Because in that 22 season, it was a lot of Luka's going to dribble, you're going to stand around and watch, and hey, maybe the ball will come to you, and if it does, like, you better make it. And now it's, yeah, hey, you're going to touch the ball. There's going to be back cuts open. There's going to be movement in the offense.
Yeah.
And maybe players are just staying engaged more, and that's leading to better production from role players than they've gotten in the past.
Yeah, I think we saw this from when Dallas played the Kings in those two games, where the first time they went heavy to PJ Washington and he was in the high pick and roll with Luka, and the Kings kept shifting two guys to go defend Luka, and PJ Washington just lit him up from three. My only concern with him is his ability to stay consistent. And like, look, the other guy that they signed Grant Williams in the offseason to be this guy too.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't be that guy.
Yeah.
And so I just find it really unique. And shout out to PJ Washington for not just hitting the big threes, but also he's done a lot of work on his body. He looks like a much different player than what we saw in the past. And I know, like, early on, the Kings had some interest in him when he was a very affordable player. And as soon as he was not affordable, it became like less and less interest, it seemed like. But definitely a player that would fit what the Kings do.
We'll put a pin in PJ Washington. I want to bring him back up a little bit later. But we had a second game on Saturday. The Celtics beat the Cavs 106-93. To me, that was Boston doing what they did against the Heat. They didn't beat the Cavs by 25 or whatever they beat the Heat in game three by, but it just felt like a methodical, never really pulled away, but it never felt like the Cavs were going to win it, and they just kind of rolled. I'm not sure Boston loses another game here, especially because Donovan Mitchell's banged up.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of how we thought this series would go.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised that they got one early against at home. You know, they beat Boston on their home floor. I thought that was a bit of a surprise. Now I think it will go like according to Hoyle. It's just going to be like, all right, we'll just systematically destroy you. This is who we are. This is what we do. And maybe we're wrong because, you know, I kind of feel like we weren't 100% right with the way that most of these series are going to go here in the second round. Just like the vibe is different than I expected from a lot of this these early second round games.
I think the problem for Boston is when they get behind in a game or it's close late, because at that point I'm not totally sure they know exactly what they want to do. It's like your turn, my turn with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, but neither player is skilled enough off the bounce to play that way. But also having the ball in Drew Holiday's hands with 2 minutes left to distribute feels off. So I need to see Boston. I think they're going to go to the finals. I still fully believe that. I need to see them against whichever team comes out of the West, because I think that's going to be their toughest matchup by a lot.
Okay. I mean, I think Tatum is still one of the best one-on-one players in the league.
Sure.
And he's so big and physical, and you're like, okay, there he goes to the rim. There's not a lot you can do.
Yeah.
Or he gets a pull-up or whatever it is. When he's rolling, I just think that this is a weird playoff where it's almost like players need to be called out. You know, it seems like Nikola Jokic gets called out for his game one and two performance against Minnesota. Boom. All of a sudden, Nikola Jokic is back. You see Tyrese Halliburton get called out. Everyone's like, okay, man, this is the playoffs. You can't go out there and take six shots. And all of a sudden, boom, there he is.
Yeah,
and the same thing with Tatum. I think Tatum, to a certain degree, I mean, even when he finished fifth or sixth in MVP balloting, which is crazy because you're the best player on the best team, and he was quiet. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, man, hey, are you going to show up, or are you going to get beat again like you did last year, and like you have a couple of times in your career already? And all of a sudden we're seeing him start to pick it up. So kind of an interesting like roll call moment for some of the stars.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of a roll call moment, the Knicks not present yesterday, 121-89. The Pacers win that one. I don't.
Yeah.
Look, I don't. I've been, like you said, I've been off on my feeling on a lot of these. But I don't even know if this is a feeling or a strategic thing. The Knicks might just be out of gas. They just might. We talked about this. Tom Thibodeau, this is his deal. He runs his players into the ground. And even though you've seen them expand their bench a little bit and you've seen Alec Burks getting minutes in games 3 and 4, that series is now 2-2. And the Knicks aren't getting like healthier. They're not going the right direction. They are trending backward. And it's really clear they need somebody to take some of the onus off Jalen Brunson. And I love Dante DiVincenzo. I love Josh Hart. But from a scoring standpoint, you can't rely on those guys night in and night out. I just think it feels like they are cooked because they don't have another gear to reach.
Yeah. Okay. So I think this is such it's the MO of Thibodeau to run his players into the ground.
Right.
And like we've seen it time and time again. And at this point, because of the injuries to, you know, Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, Bojan Bogdanovic, and now OG Anunoby, there's even more and more pressure put on a small group of players. And you're going to have nights like this where realistically regression to the mean, like Josh Hart is a great player, but he's a great player in his role. He's a superstar in his role. Dante DiVincenzo can be that same thing, like a superstar in his role.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start, you know, needing these guys to go for 24 to 28 points a game, that's where things get rough. And it doesn't matter how many times you say they're the Villanova crew, you know, eventually you're going to run into games like this. And this could just be a blip. It just could, you know, and the fact that a bunch of their players didn't play a ton of minutes, like Josh Hart went from averaging like 47 points per game to only playing 24 in this, maybe that helps them.
But yeah, that was the one like saving grace for the Knicks last night. Where if you're trying to talk yourself into them, and you very obviously can. This series has been, outside of last night's game, where the Knicks couldn't make a shot and the Pacers couldn't miss, it's been a really, really tight series. And that's why I said last week, it wouldn't shock me at all if this series goes back to New York tied 2-2.
Yeah.
Because I think these teams are really close. And if the Knicks do have, because of yesterday, they only had to play half a game, if they do have that extra gear in Game 5 and they get a W at Madison Square Garden, all right, now you got 2-1.
Yeah.
And you're moving on to the conference finals. So I just feel, about the Knicks specifically, I feel much worse about their chances in the conference finals given how this series has gone.
No, I agree with you there, but I'd also say if you're going to lose like this.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Like, this is a good, you know, it's not great for the league to have it be on,
you know, who cares about
Mother's Day while everyone's watching, but if you're going to lose, go ahead and lose bad so you can do the right thing and not play your players major minutes and maybe get a little bit of respite here in heading into Game 5.
I don't think that might be the earliest I've ever seen the coaches wave the white flags in a playoff game.
Yeah.
Miles Turner and Tyrese Haliburton and the starters checked, or I don't know if it was all the starters, but at least those two checked out with like 3 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Haliburton played a total of 28 minutes. 27-32.
I got to tell you, is somebody with Tyrese Haliburton more than 21.5 points?
Oh, Kyle.
That was a tough go.
Damn you, prize picks.
I know. I'm sitting there and I'm going, just keep him in. Maybe they'll start the fourth. My dad and I are talking because my dad had Miles Turner. And we're like, we both needed a bucket. We needed one bucket each from both of them. And we're like, okay, maybe they'll play the rest of the... And then you start the fourth, you play a couple minutes into the fourth, and then just out with 3 minutes left in the third, and it's like, man, they're not coming back in. Come on, Knicks, make a run.
Oh, brutal. That's tough, man.
It's a really tough go.
Tough look.
The Nuggets beat the Timberwolves 115-107. We will dive into that series next. We will also talk about the NBA lottery, a fascinating NBA lottery, even though not a lot happened for the Kings. The Hawks get the number one pick. We'll talk about what that means for Sacramento and Atlanta and the league moving forward. We'll also have some fun Kings trade stuff coming up as well. Stay tapped into the insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports.
Now, back to the insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Talk some Kings this segment. That's James. I'm Kyle. Before we talk Kings, though, I want to talk about the Nuggets-Timberwolves game, 115-107, the final there. A couple things from this. One, that game ended on that three-possession stretch at the end of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
KCP 3 to put the Timberwolves up 10. The Nuggets get a chance because, well, I'm sorry, the Timberwolves had it at 7. And there's like 30 seconds left. And you're going, man, they have a chance here to be, if they play this right, to go into the half down like 1 or 2. They're in a really good spot. So Ant hits a 3 to make it a 7-point game. KCP answers with a 3. Timberwolves go down. Ant turns it over. Nuggets get a dunk. Timberwolves turn over the inbound, and Jamal Murray cash from half court at the buzzer. 8 points in 20 seconds or whatever it was.
To put the lead to 15?
15-point lead at half. And it just and we were talking about this before the show, but that game wasn't like, wow, the Nuggets are just, they just overwhelmed. It was like, no, the Timberwolves would get it to 9, oh, then back to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they cut it to 7? Oh, no, right back to 10. They just could never quite get over that hump. Even at the end of the game, they got it to 6, and you're going, oh, okay, it's interesting. Easy layup. It's like, man, that's back to 8. That's ball game. So I thought that sequence at the end of the first half just took the air out of everything.
No, I totally agree. It reminded me of the game 1 where we had Cavs and Celtics, and Donovan Mitchell came down and forced up a 3 near the end of the half. He breaks it. Peyton Pritchard gets the ball and launches from half court and knocks it down. And it just, that's the separation you needed. It's also, you know, reminds me of the 2002 Western Conference Finals. Samaki Walker hit a half court buzzer beater when the Kings were up something like 32 in the first half and go on to lose. They're up 30 something in the first half. And first of all, there was no replay then, and Samaki Walker's shot came after the buzzer. But it didn't matter, and it was about the momentum shift, and that's what we're talking about. Like, the momentum shifted, and it's what we've been waiting for Denver, the momentum to just, like, shift, and then it's over, and, like, there it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was that. Those two games in Minnesota were the version of Denver that we talked about so much against the Lakers, where it's like, dude, this is just a machine. They're just churning forward, and they're going to figure it out, and sure enough, in game 3, they figured something out. And then yesterday, Nikola Jokic stuffed Rudy Gobert into a locker for 48 minutes.
Yeah, it did seem like we were waiting for the adjustment for Mike Malone and his staff, and they figured it out. There was something schematically that was wrong that they weren't able to figure out early.
Yeah.
And, like, this is a chess match, and so good on, you know, Minnesota for figuring out some things that would be totally effective. There's really nothing they can do to slow down Anthony Edwards. He's just that guy. Like, he's
44 points on 16 of 25 is nuts.
Yeah, that's wild.
A 67.3 true shooting percentage in the playoffs.
Mm.
22 years old. Man, what a player.
He's going to be special.
I love him so much. He's so fun.
Yeah.
Which team should be more concerned? Who has blown their 2-0 lead? The Knicks or the Timberwolves?
Oh, I think Timberwolves.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh, it's the Knicks for me.
Maybe it's a coin flip.
Here's why. I think it's the Knicks because the Timberwolves, you just said it. This is the chess match. I think Chris Finch is an excellent coach. And if you told me that there was a coach who was going to figure out the adjustment to get game 5, like, yeah, I like Chris Finch to do that because you've seen they have the personnel to stifle the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks, I think, are just out of gas.
No, that's true.
The Knicks, there may not be an adjustment outside of, like, hey, could you dig deeper? That's why I would be more concerned. I'm not saying necessarily that I'm like picking the Wolves to win the next 2 or 2 out of the next 3. Like, at this point, you have to go with the defending champs. But I think if there's a cause for concern, to me, if you're a Knicks fan, you're looking like, what was that yesterday?
Hey, man, it's not just, we talked about this before the series started, it's not just that you're playing your stars like so many minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that you, for some reason, decided to play their style of basketball. And so not only are you playing Josh Hart 48 minutes, but Josh, you got to play 48 minutes of Indiana Pacers, 130 point per game, like crazy pace, running up and down the court. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I just think like the entire idea behind that was a mistake because that's playing in. If they would have slowed it down in the beginning and not allowed this thing to become a track meet, you might have had a chance to rest some of these guys or to at least get rest within the game where you're not just going crazy the whole time. But man, the amount of energy that's been expended by these guys is extreme. And at this point, you might be right. That might be the tough one. I just think that Denver just showed you that they're the champs.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
Yeah.
When they went into your home gym and punked you twice in a row like you did to them, now it goes back to Denver. And I don't think Denver is going to lay down on their home court again.
Yeah. It's a fascinating series.
Yeah.
I'm stoked to dive into the rest of those. No, man. The Knicks is, it's interesting because you brought that up after game one and I had said, I'm not sure they have a choice.
Yeah.
And that's what I kept noticing yesterday is the Pacers are just every miss that the Pacers are doing a great job on the glass. They're doing a really good job of hustling with the Knicks, but every miss they are pulling it down and getting out and going.
Yeah.
I don't know if New York has a choice in this because it is just frenetic. Everything is so fast paced. I don't know that there's been a point where you've gone, hey, they should slow it down. They should, I mean, maybe Tom Thibodeau can be more liberal with his timeouts, but I
think you slow it down. You take as much time as you can on the shot clock because this is not a great defensive team, Indiana.
Yeah.
Indiana's, they might be good in transition defense, but like if you get them in a half court offense and you systematically beat up on them and have Jalen Brunson going at them again and again and again and breaking them down, get the spray threes, you know, I think that you can stretch out the possessions to 22 seconds per possession. And again, you're getting some of your players are getting a break within the 24-second shot clock, and that's a big deal. Like, especially if you're only playing, you know, five guys, six guys, maybe seven guys, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, man. That they need OG to get healthy for sure. That's the.
Oh, I don't think that's gonna happen.
I don't think so.
Not in time.
That's tough. At the NBA draft lottery was yesterday. We'll keep talking about this, but if you missed it, the Atlanta Hawks won the lottery. They had a 3% chance to get the number one pick, and they got it. The Kings stayed at number 13. So Atlanta jumps to the number one pick in a year where nobody wants the number one pick. That's so brutal.
You know,
the Hawks are in a tough spot.
They are. And you know, it's possible that like through the draft process that one of these guys is just going to elevate himself, or maybe two of these guys, they're going to elevate themselves and everyone's going to be like, okay, we missed something here.
By draft day, there will definitely be one or two guys.
Yeah, yeah. We're dealing with a combine right now. Once, you know, guys get more of a feel for the combine, you know, you have the anthropometrics where they go in and they get all the wingspan and height and all that measurement and all that stuff. Like, I think, you know, you're going to see some players, once you start seeing the interviews happen, all that, that start to rise. But I still don't, you know, believe that, like, there's any consensus in the top five.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know that there's not a consensus top five. There are maybe two players that most people think will go in the top five. But outside of that, I think it's just wide open. And to me, it's really crazy.
Yeah. I'm fascinated to see how the Hawks manage this. We will talk about what it means for the Kings staying at 13, though, and what it means for the Kings that the Hawks are picking first.
Yeah.
We'll dive into all of that, and you had a trade idea that we will get to as well. Tons of basketball and Kings coming up right here on the Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube on Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, bro, I love an animal tidbit. Give me an animal fun fact. Right up there with a historical fun fact. I love a historical fun fact as well. Why isn't it spotting down? There we go.
Wow.
That was annoying.
All right.
Yeah, I love a historical fun fact, an animal fun fact. Like, you tell me, hey, did you know that animal runs X miles an hour? I'm like, wow, I didn't, but thanks. I love that. If I could just sit, I don't even need to play trivia night at a bar. I could sit and watch trivia at a bar just so long as it was all animal-based trivia. Because I'm going to learn so many little animal factoids.
Okay. I know I was watching news on the way down, and there was a...
You were watching the news on the way down?
Well, I was listening on the way down.
Oh, okay.
And there was a talking head who said something about, like, this is where, like this thing could turn into, like, a hippo, and hippo, like just consume everything, just, like, aggressively attack everything and go, like, off the rails.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone started laughing, like, why a hippo? And he's like, hippos are dangerous.
Bro, the most underrated murderer in the animal kingdom, for
500
sure.
People a year die by hippo death.
Yes.
Which he looked up this stat while he was on the air, and he said only 25 die from lion attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Hey, so two things. One, lions, like, you know, King of the Jungle, big mane, super lazy. The female lions are the ones that do all the hunting and killing.
Yeah, they do all the work.
Yeah, if you see a lion with the big mane out in the wild, you can probably just walk away from it and you'll be fine.
I'm not going to try that, but
definitely don't try that. Don't believe me at all. Hippos. Here's what the wild thing about hippos is. We'll talk about the Kings draft lottery in a second. Here's the wild thing about hippos. They don't just, because they're very territorial.
Yeah.
So a lot of the reason that people get killed by hippos is because they will live in these rivers and people fish in these rivers, and a hippo will encroach on the hippo space. And when a hippo decides you're going to die, it's over for you.
And they're way faster than you think.
They're way faster than you think. They're in the water. That's not as a person. That's not your arena. I mean, they like I said, when a hippo decides you're going to die, they have a bite force. Like, they can crush watermelons. It's just that you're done. You're toast.
They can get up to 19 miles per hour.
Yeah, dog.
That's fast.
They move, bro.
That's fast.
Like, Tyreek Hill, when a fast NFL player is doing like 21.
Oh, wow.
And they can do that for, you know, a burst. Hippos move, dude. So here's the wild thing about this, though, and why the hippos are so underrated murder-wise. They will just get bored and go walk around. And if you're just in a place they don't like, all right, that guy's going to die now.
Oh.
I'm going to go kill that thing. You just do that.
That's wild. It's
insane. Also, the polar bear. Also an underrated murderer because of Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola has done more for the image of the polar bear.
All right.
Than any PR firm could ever hope to do.
Yeah, and this happened because we were discussing the pelican.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the pelican that was in the outfield at the Giants game. And I told the story that Keith Smart, when he was the coach of the Kings, that's when the Pelicans, they went from the New Orleans Hornets to the New Orleans Pelicans. So the Hornets name could go back to Charlotte.
Right.
And he told the story about Pelicans and just how revered they are in New Orleans. And like they sacrifice themselves for their family and all this stuff.
You mentioned they go blind because the pelican, they have the big beak and they scoop water and fish all at once. They like dive bomb the water. And you mentioned they go blind because they dive bomb so often.
Yeah, so many times they hit the water and eventually they go blind from that. Yeah.
Incredible.
So, yeah, just really an interesting bird. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe you got a blind pelican that was standing in the outfield.
Just vibing.
Yeah, just hanging out. He had no idea.
It was pretty amazing. If you missed it at the Giants game this weekend, pelican came and just sat in shallow center field for minutes.
That's wild.
I started taking video, and my video of it as it was flying away, it was a minute four. And it was there a couple minutes before that. Like a plays were happening, and this bird was just... I was shocked they didn't do more to try to get the pelican out of there.
Huh.
Like, that's a good-sized bird. When a seagull lands in the outfield, fly ball that seagull's direction, it's clearing out.
Oh, yeah.
But if there had been a shallow pop to center and second baseman and shortstop and center fielder are all converging and then pelican freaks out and decides it's going to go, that could hurt somebody.
That's amazing.
You can get wrecked by a pelican.
Hey, like when we were in Alaska, they said, hey, look up there in the tree, there's a bald eagle. And we're like, where? Like there's a whole bunch of trees. They're like, just look, you'll see him up there.
Yeah.
And then when you spot him, you can't look away. You're like,
massive.
That looks like an 8-year-old.
Yeah, dude.
Like standing in a tree. Like they're like 4 foot tall. Like
they're
it's huge. Gigantic.
Yeah.
Like we have a bald eagle up in the lake that goes around, but he's not big like that. Like the ones in Alaska, like clearly they're eating much larger fish.
Getting their protein.
Yes. I mean, it's incredible how big the thing was. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, please don't let it come down and swoop up and like.
Right.
Like take away like an elderly person or something. Like, I don't know. Wild.
All right. Anyways, animal facts. Hit us on youtube.com/ESPN1320. I will consume an animal fact all day. The Sacramento Kings stayed at number 13. In the NBA draft lottery, the Hawks, they won it. They moved to number one. Let's put a pin in the Hawks because they don't matter. This to me, based on the analysis of the Hawks moving up to number one, and Zach Lowe wrote about this, because if you're unfamiliar with how the draft lottery works, the actual lottery happens in a room where no laptops, no cell phones, and the lottery happens, and then they put it on TV later.
They do
a televised version.
They're sequestered to a room without their devices, and they're there to make sure the authenticity of the draft.
Right.
Like, Zach Lowe is usually in the room. I think Ben Golliver was in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Hyken that covers the Portland Trailblazers.
Portland, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's representation from almost every city that's in the mm-hmm. lottery. I don't think Sacramento had somebody, but if they don't, it's usually like a team representative.
So here's how, and again, this is Zach Lowe. You can read about this in ESPN. It's fascinating. He describes the whole system. It's great. But he said that last year, because everybody has four-digit numbers,
mm-hmm.
and they pull the ping pong balls, and their first three numbers come up, and then there was this like palpable anticipation because that number is going to go to whatever team is going to get Victor Wembanyama.
Mm-hmm.
And so the anticipation was like palpable. Like, he said people were like on edge. Even before the process, there was like nervous chatter. And you could just tell. And then this year it happened. And the reaction was, man, can you imagine if that happened last year? Nobody gave a rip that the Hawks had the 9th best odds to get the number one pick and got it.
Yeah. That's
3% chance. Just nobody cared. So this to me feels like, based on all that, and like you said, at some point during the draft process, some guy's going to jump out of the gym and hit 99 out of 100 threes in a workout, and everybody's going to be like, holy crap, number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, that'll happen. But based on what we know right now and based on that reaction to the lottery, this is probably the preferable outcome for the Kings. They just stay to 13. They don't have to worry about the draft slot. They don't have to worry about trying to move the pick for pennies. They can hang out here, and if a trade materializes, great. If not, you see how the board falls, and you draft a player who maybe can help you this year. Maybe he's a developmental piece. Who knows? It just, this to me, makes things a lot more straightforward for Sacramento.
Oh, I totally agree. And I also think if you look at the top of the draft, it would go Atlanta, Washington, like that's good. Even the Spurs were able to get an extra pick.
Yes.
But this is the year that you want the Spurs to get an extra pick. You're like, ha ha ha, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you got an extra pick.
So this is brutal. So Atlanta, Washington, Houston are the top three. So it was Toronto. If they had been in the top six, their pick would have, they would have kept their pick. But instead, they ended up falling to 8, so their pick now conveys to San Antonio.
Oh, yeah.
Which sucks for San Antonio, because Toronto is probably not going to be very good next year.
Mm.
And I believe it would have been unprotected had it conveyed next year.
Oof.
Or it might have been top three protected, whatever it was. But this is a bad draft, per all the analysis. And now San Antonio has the pick from the Jakob Poeltl trade convey this year instead of next year or beyond. That's tough.
It is tough.
San Antonio.
It's tough. And I also think that, like, once the pick goes down, like, first of all, Atlanta.
Oh, Hawks were 10. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. They're celebrating, right? Like, which they should, because they're a team that's caught in the middle, right? They're really a team that's not good, but also not horrible. And that's the worst place to be in the NBA. I mean, the Kings sat there for, like, the entirety of the 80s and 90s where they're drafting number 7 every single time.
That was even in the early to mid 2010s, it was a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
There were just enough there where you're like, yeah, okay, you can kind of talk yourself into it, and then
yeah.
Eh.
It's tough when you're drafting what Lionel Simmons was the 7th pick, Walt Williams was the 7th pick, Bobby Hurley was the 7th pick.
I mean, that's just
Jason Williams.
Out of how many drafts do you go? This is a 4-player draft.
Yeah.
5-player draft. So when you're at 7, it's like...
Yeah. I think Brian Grant was number 8. Yeah, they had the 1 year, well, the Lionel Simmons year where they had like, they had 7, they had 14, they had 19, they had 22. They had 4 first round picks.
God. And not a single one in a prime spot.
No, no. Oh, well, man. I mean, the only one that, like, Lionel Simmons at least had a career, but it was short-lived.
Yeah. Man, that is... brutal for the Hawks.
It's good, though, because I sent you the little thing from Bobby Marks. It kind of showed what I was talking about last week that I don't think people were totally cluing in on.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawks, because they moved from 10 to 1, that pick is valued so high that all of a sudden they're out. They got to pay. Like, they're not only that, but now they're in luxury tax range, and they're going to have to figure out a way to clear some cap space, and that's not the best position to be in. But again, they're at $180.5 million in dedicated salary for next year. The tax threshold is $171.3, and we're talking about a bad team, right? So,
but a bad team that looks at Trae Young as a foundational piece, and they have DeJounte Murray, and they have Clint Capella, and they've got Bogdan Bogdanovic, and they have Sadiq Bey, who's an unrestricted free agent?
Yeah, I'd have to look that up. That's possible that Sadiq Bey is unrestricted.
But either way, you look at their accumulation of players, and you go, this should be a better team than it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. And at this point, like, this is a great opportunity to blow it up. You have the number one pick in a draft. Whoever, regardless of whether you think that player is a future All-NBA guy or whatever, you go use that pick, you blow it up, you try and accumulate assets, and you start it at ground zero.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to. But Trae Young is a good enough player that I could see their front office talking themselves into, well, if we just surround him with the right guys, and that is just not the move, man.
It's such a mistake. I know,
but so many teams do it.
They do.
Like, yeah, we've got this guy. Just like, do you?
Do you? Do you, though? Yeah, it's not a great position to be in. Yeah, qualifying offer for Sadiq Bey is $6.5 million. That puts them in a weird spot with Sadiq Bey because, like, I don't know what you do there because you're gonna, in order to keep him and to go over the and to like sign the number one overall pick,
yeah,
you're gonna go deep into the luxury tax for a team that's not good.
Oh man,
yeah, it's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah. Poor Hawks.
I think the Hawks are going to, like, they know that they're not good. Like, I've talked to some people within the walls of theirs. They know they're not good. And even at the deadline, they were very prepared to, like, have a yard sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, like, the sign was out.
But that's the thing is nobody wants what they have, at least not for what they were asking for.
Yeah, even, like, you know, here in Sacramento, we love Bogdan Bogdanovic, but he's owed 17.3, 16, and 16.
Pass.
Over the next 3 years. That's a lot of cash. So,
He's older now, too, right? Isn't he, like, 31?
I think he's older than that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He didn't age like Buddy Hield, but...
Well, no. Nobody does that.
Yeah. Let me see. How old is Bogey? Wrong Bogdanovic.
Nope. Yeah, that's probably Bojan. He's like 35.
He is 35. The other Bogey is 31. He'll be 32 in August.
Yeah, so he'll be 32 to start, and he's owed that kind of money?
He's got three more years at, like...
Like, he's a fine player, but at probably less than that.
Yeah, yeah, and he had a great season. 16.9 points, 3.4 assists, 3.1 assists, 3.4 rebounds.
Yeah.
Shot 37%, but yeah, I think that it's time for them to have... I think they've gone beyond yard sales. This is like a rummage sale.
Dude, they have to.
Yeah, there's like a free bin at this one.
You're doing... you're just doing your team a disservice by trying to drag this out another year.
Yeah.
So maybe you're not going to get exactly what you were hoping for, but they did the same thing with John Collins. They sat there and John Collins, two firsts. It's going to take two firsts to get... And they held on to him. They got nowhere and they eventually had to give him away.
For a bag of peanuts.
And
I'm...
This is why I'd be terrible in a front office.
Well,
because I can sit here on the radio and I can go, the very obvious move is to blow everything up.
This is the move. This
then you got to sell that to a fan base. You have to sell tickets.
Yeah, but they don't sell tickets there anyways. Yeah, if I'm them, I'm looking at Clint Capella. I'm looking at DeAndre Hunter. I'm looking at Bogdanovic. Like all of these guys are going to be available. And then I'm also looking at Trae Young. If you're going to reset this thing,
that's the piece.
Yeah.
That's the piece.
Yeah, Trae Young is a guy that you probably can get a lot of value for,
mm-hmm.
and you can move forward and reset your roster. And you still have DeJounte, and you still have players around, you know, that might be able to be reasonable and help you out. You've got Okongwu under contract for another 4 years. You know, Hunter's under contract for 3 years. These are young guys that you can kind of build around. You know, they do have Jalen Johnson, who's cheap for a long time.
Hey, do you know what DeJounte Murray's contract looks like?
It's not great.
He's 25 and a half next year.
Yep.
25 and a half million. He's 28 years old. Then 27 and a half, 29 and a half. And then at age 31 in the 27-28 season, he has a $31.5 million player option.
Hmm. You know what, though? I will say this about DeJounte Murray. I mean, first of all, he made an all-star team. But this is kind of what we talked about before, about players that maybe aren't max money guys that you can get for less than max money. And it's not usual that a player will take less, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what that kind of feels like. This isn't his... I don't think this is his second contract. He's 27 years old. So this should be his third contract. Mm-hmm. And so you do have him at less than max money, which for a guy who, again, made an all-star team, that's really not horrific. I know it's not what you really want to pay.
If he still played defense like he played when he made an all-star team, great.
Yeah, but you're looking at a 27-year-old who averaged 22 and a half with 6.4 assists and 5.3 rebounds and 1.4 steals. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't... Like we had this discussion before. Would you trade for DeJounte? And that would be a tough one. Although his contract, again, if you're looking at players of that ilk, his contract mm-hmm. isn't horrific.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. It brought me to the question of can you work with that team specifically
mm-hmm.
to, number one, save them money, and number two, get the player that you want out of somewhere else.
Yeah, you have an excellent trade idea here. So let's lay this out.
Well, I mean, again, this is just like, hey, let's throw stuff against the wall. This isn't something I'm hearing.
Yeah, this isn't. Yeah, so just to make this very straight, this is a hypothetical. Hey, these numbers work.
Yeah.
What does this look like? Let's discuss it.
Yeah, exactly. So my idea was, if the Kings were to go try to get Brandon Ingram, they're going to have a problem that they can't offer a player that will help, that will truly help, I think, New Orleans right now. They can potentially offer a player, right, that could be in their rotation, but not that would really, really push them forward. So if I was the Kings, I would try to get Atlanta involved, because I think Trey Young could help the Pelicans. So my offer would be Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte, a 2025 first round pick from the Pelicans. The Kings would concede their rights to the 2024 pick, which is the 13th pick in the draft, but also a 2026 and a 2028 goes to Atlanta. So Atlanta would pick up four first round picks: Barnes, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte. That's what the Hawks would get. So four firsts. The Kings would get Brandon Ingram, and the Pelicans would get Trae Young. So
they get 2026 from SAC and 2028.
And like concede the 2024, which would be basically just pulling the restrictions off of the current pick that they owe Atlanta.
Okay. I've got this written down on the whiteboard so we can flash it up for people.
Okay.
At some point. I don't have the stream up.
Yeah.
Am I good here?
Yeah.
Does this look right?
Yep, that makes sense.
Okay. So ostensibly, here's the deal. Who says no kind of thing, we'll put that on hold for a second. So the Kings are ostensibly trading for Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
They are trading Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte, and three firsts for Brandon Ingram.
Yeah. Now, here's the other caveat I would add. Like, Brandon Ingram's in the final year of a $36 million deal.
Okay, so let's put a pin in that.
Okay.
Because that's what I want to talk about next.
Okay.
But this is the kind of move that, again, let's take Brandon Ingram out of this. Let's just put, insert player of that caliber here.
Yes.
This is the kind of move that I think the Kings need to make this offseason. This is the kind of swing I think they need to go take. We talk about, hey, could the 13th pick contribute? Hey, how do you feel about this role player? Like Bones Highland, and how do you feel about this guy? Okay, those are all fractional things. I'm of the mind that the Kings this year need to make some kind of major move where they are offloading a bunch of their assets in one, not in a bunch of smaller deals to add to the margins of the roster. No, I want a big deal that's going to bring in a player of this ilk. And this right here, what you have put together in your hypothetical world, this is the kind of move I think they need to be a part of.
Yeah, and like, I don't know that this type of move is like necessarily out there. I'm not saying that this is going to happen, mm-hmm. but I would even like caution people, like, there is a way that like trades like this could happen, because what you're trying to do is fill the needs of multiple teams at one time.
Right. Yeah.
So I think we can all say that we know the Pelicans need a point guard. They need more 3-point shooting. They need a star to put next to Trae Young. Mm-hmm. We can also look at Atlanta. I mean, next to Zion Williamson. I'm sorry. We can look at Atlanta and say Atlanta needs, if they just got the number one overall pick, they really need to go all in on that. You know, again, you can keep Jalen Johnson. You can keep DeAndre Hunter. They're young enough. But the realistic thing that they need to do is reset everything.
Mm-hmm.
So could you do something to go get three or four first round picks for Trae Young?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to get that from one team, but what you can do is you can get it from multiple teams. For the Kings, this is really not like giving up three first round picks for Brandon Ingram. It's giving up like 2.25, because you already owe Atlanta this pick, the 2025. So I think it would do two things. Number one, it would move up the timeline for Atlanta, where they're getting a 24, a 26 and a 28, as opposed to a 25, a 27 and a 29.
Sure.
Plus, it also guarantees him a lottery pick, not what you might have next offseason from the Kings, which could be much better for the Kings than a lottery pick, than a top 12 pick. So I just think that it would help all three teams. And I also, if I'm not mistaken, in a weird way, you could probably figure out this trade with DeJounte Murray being the player that goes to Atlanta. I mean, goes to the Pelicans instead of Trey. It would just mean like taking out one of the players from the Kings side.
Okay. I love the idea of Trey Young with the Pelicans, where you're taking some of that onus off of CJ McCollum to be a shot creator at this stage of his career, because that just clearly wasn't enough. And it gives you an additional playmaker where when Zion Williamson is out, it's not all on CJ McCollum or like, yeah, hey, we need Trey Murphy to have a huge game and Herb Jones to be a player he's not. Like, no, man, you have a really, I'm hesitant on Trey Young as like the guy for a team, but here he's not. It would be Zion Williamson, and they believe in Trey Murphy's ascension as a go-to scorer for them. And I really like Trey Young as a playmaker. I like him as a playmaker even more than I like him as a scorer.
I also think it would give you the ability to play Herb Jones alongside Trey Young for large stretches.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could mask a lot of what he does wrong
as
a player.
That's what Atlanta tried to do with DeJounte Murray, and it didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
He regressed a little bit on that end.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to talk about, we have to hit a break, but I want to talk about Brandon Ingram specifically, because that's the part of this that throw New Orleans in there, and we just talked about Trey Young, how he helps them. You laid out nicely how this all works for Atlanta, where you're getting some young players. You're giving a player like Davion Mitchell a chance to really play and grow. Same thing with Chris Duarte. You're loading up on picks to either move for another asset or to use in drafts in the future. Like, you're just that's how a rebuild should go. So I love that idea. You sent me this trade yesterday. And you said, who says no? And I said, if I'm the Kings, I'm not, but if I was, I would say no. And I will tell you why coming up next, and we'll talk a little bit about Brandon Ingram, the player, and how he is involved in this deal. Plus, Mark Stein had some reporting about Brandon Ingram, who the Pelicans are trying to move. We will dive into all of that next here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And Mitch, I see you on hold. Hang in there, Mitch. We will also have Mitch and your calls next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Theater.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.